when you reach something that is too large to do via the sort of traditional analytical routes that are available to most people, what do you do next?
How to handle large amounts of data. This is Future Lab, the online radio series from Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. What happens if your data is huge and complex, but you don't have access to Big Iron or a team of software engineers? There are ways to deal with it. It's interesting how computer effects have transformed movies. The realism has gotten pretty good. But there's one area where Hollywood is still a little far-fetched, and that's how computer performance itself is portrayed. Annoyances.org lists a number of things computers do in movies that aren't realistic, at least yet. One annoyance about computers in movies is that complex calculations and the loading of huge amounts of data can be accomplished in under 3 seconds. You don't have to be a data center expert to know that that isn't real. What is real is this. With easier access to incredible computing power, more people doing scientific research, financial analysis, or even design need to be able to deal with large amounts of data without expensive data centers or without a software team. 3 seconds? That's probably not on the horizon. But in our story, Paul Lancour talked with some researchers about innovations that are making big data more manageable.
Isolated in the hills above Berkeley are a couple of unremarkable University of California science and math buildings. Inside these buildings, scientists and engineers are working on the cutting edge in a variety of disciplines. Managing their own satellites, looking deep into space, finding new applications for advanced mathematics. One thing almost all of this work has in common, lots and lots of data.
The units go up the megabyte, gigabyte, terabyte, petabyte, exabyte. So we're now floating around the petabyte level.
That's Dave Anderson, research scientist at UC Berkeley. He works on projects that require processing on huge data sets, beyond what seems possible for most tight budgets and shared resources. One solution is volunteer computing,
which is using large numbers of home PCs to do different kinds of computing and data storage, data analysis for a variety of types of scientific research.
People volunteer to let their home PCs be used by scientists for just a bit of time and a bit of computing power, unnoticed by the home user, but...
But it also gives us the possibility of having extremely large numbers of computers involved, like millions or even hundreds of millions. There are currently about 1.5 billion PCs in the world, and these PCs today are extremely powerful and able to run almost any type of scientific application. Whereas the computing resources available to a typical scientist are maybe a few dozen computers in their lab, or if they're lucky, they have access to a cluster of maybe a few hundred or thousand computers. But with volunteer computing, we're talking about hundreds of thousands or millions of computers.
This allows for a variety of data-intensive projects to run at a fraction of the cost.
Some of them have well-known names like SETI at Home, which is looking for extraterrestrial life in radio waves. ClimatePrediction.net studies long-term global climate change. There's projects doing biomedical research, projects doing astrophysical research like Einstein at Home, which is looking for gravitational waves.
Some pretty large issues with lots of data to crunch. But volunteer computing is just one approach to tackling the problems of large data sets.
We see a world where the amount of data that's being captured and being stored in any number of fields is just accelerating.
Jason Campbell is a research scientist at Intel Labs. He says our ability to analyze and comprehend data hasn't matched the growth in the amount of data.
There are potentially scientific, medical, business, political breakthroughs waiting partly on the analysis, the intelligent analysis of these data stores.
So people who've managed to get along with spreadsheets in the past find that this no longer meets their needs. Campbell says he's begun to develop a program at Intel Labs called Dicer.
Let's try and extend the spreadsheet abstraction to work on much larger data sets with a much more capable computing infrastructure behind it, so that you can get answers faster and involving more data more effectively. What we're looking at is what's too large for the average individual or domain expert, engineer, business person, or scientist to analyze with a tool like a spreadsheet today. And probably when you get past 10 to 100,000 numbers or short character strings, you're into the territory where most people are at a loss for how to scale their analysis up. And so a flat representation doesn't necessarily bring out the relationships you'd want to emphasize when you want to say, you know, what does this data tell us? What messages are noise? What messages are sort of true that we can draw out of it? What's reliable? What's not?
My name is Soyla Pertet. I'm working with Jason Campbell over the summer on Dicer.
Soyla Pertet is a PhD student in computer science at Carnegie Mellon University. Her study of the root cause of failures in distributed systems, which she calls finger pointing, have contributed to capabilities envisioned for Dicer.
One of the problems we had in the past was that we were running centralized algorithms, which took a very long time, and they were non-interactive, so we'd just go to the command line, wait, you know, for even hours at times, and then come and see whether everything ran correctly. But Dicer offers us an interactive interface where we can parse our data and run our analysis scripts and get results in real time.
In this demo, she runs the application and shows an example of how Dicer helps maintain accuracy in crunching large amounts of data.
So this is just a subset of the parameters that we are analyzing. And over here you can see how many cores are working and just parallelizing our algorithm. And then we get output, which is in a spreadsheet-like form, that will tell us for each combination of parameters what the accuracy of our algorithms was.
Ultimately, says Jason Campbell, Dicer brings big data management to more people.
If you are not a computer programmer, then the number of things that you can do with the tremendous compute resources that are available today are somewhat limited. And we're trying to bridge that gap in part. We're trying to empower people to use cloud and cluster computing to work on problems that are larger than they previously could, and not to have to become programmers to do it.
For Future Lab, I'm Paul Lancour.
That's our show about managing large amounts of data. Thanks for listening. This is Future Lab, the online radio series from Intel Labs. If you'd like to see photos from the show, you can see them at Flickr. Use the search terms Future Lab and Intel. There are other Future Lab shows as well at iTunes and at connectedsocialmedia.com. Intel Labs is at intel.com/research.